Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Corey Crenshaw.
I'm Richie Suave Flores.
And this is Sporty with Corey and Richie Suave.
On the Hockey Podcast Network.
In a world where social media is king and everyone is an expert in everything, get the facts from your insiders here on Sporty with Corey and Richie Suave. Here are your hosts, Corey Crenshaw and Richie Flores.
Welcome back in Sporty Nation. I started thinking about saying welcome when I said Richie earlier, and I genuinely sounded like Kat's daughter and almost pulled out a full witchy. So with me, per the usual, is my wonderful co-host, Richie. How you doing?
Hello, Corey. Doing splendiferously okay today because we are now a week away from Halloween, and I actually tried on my full costume for the first time on Sunday, a week away from Halloween. I actually fit pretty well. I think I'm just going to have to make some minor adjustments to one part of the costume. But other than that, I feel like we are on tap for a good-looking group of people come Halloween.
Yeah, I got a picture of that. And all I've got to say is next time I'm going to need you in a more heroic pose.
You gotta
start working on your heroic pose. It's harder than you think. Like, I did it one time at Comic-Con just to have the experience of dressing up one time at Comic-Con. And then people end up saying, like, that they like your costume and then they want to take pictures with you. This is problematic because then you think to yourself, how do you pose? And how do you pose that doesn't seem very lame?
This is true. Now, I could have done the Black Widow poser pose. Could have done that.
That is true. They do reference that in the movie, so it would work out well.
But I don't think Red Guardian has a pose that he does. Other than, like, when he first puts on his costume and he comes out and he says it still fits. Like, he does that thing. And then he does, like, the weird, like, tiger claw thing when he gets ready to fight Taskmaster.
Yeah, he's a little strange. Kind of all around, he's a little strange. So, I don't normally say this, but I wouldn't take cues from the actual character itself.
I can see that for sure. But yes, I sent Corey the picture, but we're gonna wait to unveil the full picture on Halloween night. So be on the lookout for those pictures. I'm glad everything managed to fit fairly well. I had some assistance. My assistant today in helping me put on the costume was Izzy. She helped me zip up the back of my top, and she also helped me put on some of the one of the other pieces to it. And I think she did a good job.
Way to go, Iz. Killing it. Mm-hmm. That kid is, I swear, 10 years older than she actually is. You know? Like, the fact that she can do half the stuff that she does and is honestly as sassy as she is quite awesome. Have you gotten in trouble for anything of recent?
No, not that I can think of.
You haven't put your shoes in the wrong place, forgot to turn a light off.
Yeah, other than the light thing, which I got scolded about that again today. But other than that, no, nothing new.
Who needs to live with their mom when they've got a small child that will just scold them?
Yes, this is true, because I will say my mom used to get on me all the time for this same exact thing, because I always used to leave all the lights on in the house whenever possible.
I got so tired of my brother doing it that I just started doing it myself. I just go down there and turn it off. Between that and him leaving food in his room, I just go into his room when he was gone, grab the food that he would leave in there, and then turn his light off. I don't even know if he knew I did it. Like, I just kept doing it for years because I was just so exhausted of him doing it. And then my mom complaining that our electric bill was so high. And I'm like, I wonder why.
I wonder, maybe it's just a male thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time. It's a weird OCD thing that I have. Like, even when I'm supposed to leave a light on purpose, I still don't do well with it. And I have a habit of just walking out of a room and hitting it. And Scotty knows that really well because I've done a few different things. Like, he'll be taking a shower, I'll walk out of that part of the bathroom. Like, I'll walk in there to grab something, walk out, turn off the light on. Or he'll be in the guest room and he'll still be in here and I'll walk out of the room, turn the light off on him. I do it all the time. It's just a complete habit.
That's too funny. There was a time when I did that to Kat too. Right in the middle of her recording a podcast, she had the kitchen light on and I was getting ready to leave. And I often have the kitchen light on at all times because I am one of those people that I like there being light. I don't like being in a dark room. So more often than not, I have the light on and I usually forget to turn it off. Well, this one time I forgot that I was getting ready to leave. I turned this light off right in the middle of Kat recording a podcast. And she gave me the typical Kat look, which was the Richard, what are you doing? And then I just left.
With a hint of, I'm very disappointed in you.
Yes. Yes.
It's what are you doing? I'm very disappointed in your current choice.
Yes, not so different than the look she also gives to her child, because as we have said on this show, I am basically a second child in the household at this point.
That is actually probably very accurate. Extremely accurate, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what's going on in the life of Richard. What's going on in the life of Corey at the moment?
Gosh, I've been all over the place between the Machine Gun Kelly concert, best concert I have ever been to. The vibes were immaculate. It was just awesome. And, all sorts of family gatherings, baby showers, birthdays. And then I got dragged to watching Halloween Kills tonight. So I've been a little all over the place. I will say one thing, though. The one thing that I'm about ready for, and this may be very controversial because people really enjoy all the Halloween movies and all that stuff. I'm kind of about ready for Mike Myers to just die. You know? There's a certain point when he should just, I get he's supposed to be some almost mystical creature in some way. Like, he's more than a man and so he survives all these things. But I'm kind of at the point where I'm just ready for him to just about die. Like, how many times can he just stay alive? You know?
That's the thing. They keep making money, so they can't kill him as long as they're making money.
I feel like there's got to be another way to do it. When he was in his cell, there was someone else in there with him and they became the next Mike Myers, or you know, in this one, they kind of talked about, like, the fear of the town, right? Like, how fearful everyone got. Like, so even when he wasn't there, he was there to use that, you know? Like, I don't know. I just feel like there's so many other ways that this could go. And that it's about time. He's been around since, what, the 60s, 70s? So.
Yeah, the 70s.
He's an old man by now. Gotta be. Because yeah, he was a man in the 70s. He was full-fledged man in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So so the original Mike Myers is like in his 80s now.
Yeah.
Still chopping people to pieces.
Yeah, so how long, you know, when he's like, oh, yep, I'm 130, still killing people.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question. I still haven't seen most of the Halloween movies. I think the only one I've seen is the very first one, which is a classic and still one of my favorite horror movies of all time. So I will give you props, though, for actually going and seeing the movie.
Thank you. Everyone in our friend group knows I don't go see horror movies or anything. It was funny during the previews. As it was, Fern kind of had to convince me to go. I asked him, you know, like, how scary was it? Will I be able to sleep tonight? Like, I like the first Halloween. I'm fine with it. It's more comical, I feel like, than anything else. And then he goes, I had seen most of the one previous one, so it's kind of into the storyline. So I kind of wanted to watch it a little bit, but I wasn't sure. He goes, you'll be fine. And so he kind of convinced me to go. And he had asked me what actually scares me. What are the things that I can't watch? And I listed off basically everything but those movies. And they had, of course, in the previews, all the different other scary movies that were coming out. And every single time he would look at me, and every single time I said, fuck no. There's just, I don't do horror movies. I think the only other one that I watched, my gosh, I'm trying to think of what it's called. Oh my gosh, I'll Hereditary. Hereditary was, I think, is the only other horror movie I've ever watched. And that goes on kind of like the exorcism type sense, and those are definitely not anyone's that I want to watch. And then when I was a kid, I watched The Sixth Sense. But that's about it. I don't like them. I didn't even like Hocus Pocus as a kid.
Well, but you did like Halloween Town.
Yes, I did. Those weren't scary, though. Those were just fun, I feel like.
Halloween-based movies.
Yeah, it was just a fun Halloween movie. I can't think of any other. There is some ones that I watched when I was a kid, like Twitches. Because I liked Tia and Tamara Mowry from Sister mm-hmm. Sister, so I watched that. I don't know what is considered Halloween-based movies, is what I'm curious about. Because if you're talking about any of the ones that fit in that type of genre, I love anything vampires. Most things vampires work for me. Not Twilight. But other vampires. Like, I love the underworlds. Even some of the soap opera-y kind of vampire ones. I watch Vampire Diaries. I love Vampire Diaries. You know, my mom loved, like, the old school Dracula movies, so we used to watch those when I was a kid. So I can do those. But anything where people possess other people, and, you know, there was one preview that was a nun that had the devil following her since she was, like, a baby or some shit. Yeah, nope. Nope. Not for me. Paranormal Activity? Nope. All a giant no.
Yeah, I know. Like, I couldn't. There's no chance in heck I'd would have convinced you to go see. I saw Candyman recently, and I really liked that movie. That was good. And I was like, oh, Corey's not going to come see that movie. And then
my parents had to drag me into the bathroom and do the Bloody Mary thing when I was in elementary school because I was so freaked out by it.
Yes, Candyman, very similar to that. And then the other horror movie that came out recently that I really enjoyed was A Quiet Place 2. Which I
can't feel handle that level of suspense.
Which, yes, I feel like you would actually really like the Quiet Place movies. Because they're not scary, but they're very suspenseful. However, the monsters in the movies will give you nightmares. So, there's that.
Yeah, no, I don't like that level of suspense regardless. I don't want to be that. So, like, who wants to have anxiety for that long? So I was thinking about that in the middle of the movie, right? People a lot of times like to watch scary movies because of the fact that it gives you that like adrenaline rush, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can't you just go on a roller coaster? I enjoy roller coasters so much more.
This is an interesting comparison because I think now the funny thing is that I did not used to like horror movies when I was younger. Because they freaked me out. Most of which had to do with the fact that when I was my parents' house, we lived on Elm Street, okay? So when I was
younger, I never watched Nightmare on Elm Street either. Fuck no.
Yeah, but when I was younger, just the visage of Freddy Krueger freaked me the fuck out enough to just never watch those movies. And so because of that, I didn't watch really any horror movies. I don't think my parents not horror movie fans either. So I've only really gotten a little bit more into horror movies in the last, I don't know, decade or so as I've gotten older. And so like I really grew to like the original Halloween movie. I really enjoyed that one. I really liked I like Jordan Peele's movies, right? Like Get Out and Us and A Quiet Place I talked about. And then I finally got around to watching A Nightmare on Elm Street. And still freaky, but when you watch it as an adult, not as scary as when he was a when I was a kid. So my horror movie knowledge. I've gotten better at it. The reason why I like them now is kind of what you just said. It's like the good ones are the ones to me that aren't gory, but are suspenseful. And that's kind of what the original Halloween was in a way, because you didn't really see any blood for the most part. And you didn't really see any of the kills on screen for the most part. But it was just the anticipation of what might happen next that really freaks you out. And the music was really good too. You're right. The Halloween music is like, it's right up there with the theme from Jaws and a couple other ones where just like immediately you hear that music and you're like, oh no.
Yeah. See, my whole thing, I enjoy the first Halloween because I find it funny how dumb to some degree people are, right? It's the normal why would you do that. There was like that commercial for a while there that was we should get in the running car, and the person's like, no, why would we do that? Let's go over into that shack full of chainsaws. That's kind of how dumb everyone was in it, and I always thought that was hilarious. So I always enjoyed in Halloween that they were that dumb. In this one, it had some of that, you know, why don't you lock the door? If there's someone at your door and they knocked on your door, but they're not there anymore, why did you close the door without locking it? Why do you go in together but then stop to look at a dead body and split up. You know, it's those things. Or why do you tell someone to stay in the car? Or, you know, like all those things, you're just, why? This is so dumb type of a thing. That is always funny to me. Whereas I feel like as horror movies have gone through time and they've evolved, they've gotten far less stupid. But I enjoy the stupid of them.
Huh. Yeah, it's if you really want to watch stupid, you can just go and watch some of the like really ridiculous ones, like your Final Destinations, which I've never seen, by the way, and your Saw movies or your Hostel movies, which the first Saw movie. Great. One of the best twists at the end of a movie you will ever see in your life. But the rest, don't hold up well. Don't even know how they're still making those movies. There was just a new Saw movie that came out, I think, earlier this year.
It's funny how they are able to continue some of those movies very progressively on all of that. I think they also have, you know, ones that are making fun of it, like not another scary movie. Isn't Scream kind of like that too?
Yeah, Scream is not a parody per se, but it's still a horror movie, but it is I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. But it's kind of a homage. That's the best way to put it. To making fun of the horror movie tropes, but doing it in a very scary way. Because the original Scream, incredible. And I'm glad that there's a new movie coming out, I believe, next year. I'm actually excited about that one.
Yeah, the resurgence of that mask is coming back around. And it just brings back so many memories of my brother trying to scare me as a little kid. Because he was probably about, when one of them came out, it was like, I had to be 4 or 5-ish. That would be like 2000, 2001-ish. And so my brother would have been like 9 or 10. And he would wear that Scream mask, and you could push like a little heart on it, and blood would drip down its face. And then he would lay, this is when we actually lived in a neighborhood, so I guess and so he would lay in a coffin, and then when kids would come, he would pop out of the coffin and scare people with it. He did that, and I think he also did the Grim Reaper. And that is all I can think of whenever I see that mask, because I never actually watched any of the Scream movies.
We should add that to our movie night list, because I actually think you would enjoy the first Scream movie.
If I can at least laugh at people, it makes it better when I can.
It's actually, there are some genuinely funny parts in the movie, which is the great part about it, is it's really well written.
It makes it easier for me when I can look at it and be like, well, at least I'm not that big of an idiot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And they make fun of that in the original movie as well.
Well, then it has hope for it. My favorite is just Halloween, because like they purposefully made people dumb, but it wasn't because they were wanting to make it funny. It was just because it was, you know, the first of its era, and it was on a very cheap budget. And they were just trying to make a movie about babysitters on Halloween getting murdered.
Yep. That was the original title, wasn't it? It was like
the babysitter murders. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the guy who produced it or whatever claimed that he's like, that was never the name of it. All these years later. So I don't know what the true thing is, but I believe the original title was the babysitter murders.
All right, Spoiler Nation. We hope you are excited for Halloween as much as we are. Next week, possibly the return of Sporty Spirits. We're working on that.
We're talked about to find a Halloween themed one.
Yes. Maybe. Yes. We're working on that, making that in the works as we speak. But before we move on and talk Coyotes, of course, Spoiler Nation, we want to tell you about DraftKings. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app on your phone. Download it right now if you haven't already done so, and get to betting on all of the sports, including the National Hockey League, the NFL, obviously in full swing, and many other opportunities to bet. And guess what? If you haven't already downloaded the DraftKings Sportsbook app, you can do it right now, and you can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. That's right, $200 in free bets if you bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code THPN. Do what I just said, and you can get $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Call or gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now, if you were listening to the last show, I told you guys that you could have made some free money if you bet on the Cardinals. And guess what? They won, and they covered. That spread, Corey, all the way on Sunday morning was all the way up to 20.5 points. The Cardinals were 20.5 point favorite against the Texans, and they covered easily.
Damn, that's impressive. What's also impressive is that a friend of ours had bet at the beginning of the season that they would go 6-0 and won that. I could not have bet that was actually going to happen. He won that, you know, like last week. But I was like, holy shit. The fact that he actually bet that and was able to win that is just impressive in its own right.
Yep. Congratulations, Arizona Cardinals. You're 7-0 for now. Taking on the Packers on Thursday Night Football. That should be a hell of a fun game. Maybe one of the more anticipated games of the year. The battle for NFC West supremacy. Or NFC supremacy. I'm sorry. All right. Corey, you put out a sporty question on Twitter earlier on Sunday, and getting a lot of good replies and a good conversation started. What did you ask, and what are the people saying?
So, as I do think of these things as I am heading to go see a horror movie, I'm thinking about the Coyote season, and which is the horror movie we are all kind of living in each day. It's not like we didn't expect this. You know, it's a very expected horror movie, but it's still rough to see. And, you know, after going to a few family events, we're talking about the Coyotes as we do, and a lot of times it was kind of brought up of whether people were or weren't going to watch the Coyotes this season and why so. And it really got me thinking, you know, a lot of times in a marketing world, they will say, let's bring in a group of people and then kind of do like a test group. And so I thought, you know what, let's do a Sporty Nation test group to find out what it is that's going to get people involved in this team, because they're not going to be winning anything. So I said, outside of winning, what will it take you to stay interested in the Coyotes this season? Winning is not on the table. So something else has to pique your interest. What is it going to be? And we have actually a lot of these. So I thought we could kind of go back and forth reading some of these and then kind of give a short little synopsis of what we think about it.
That's a great idea. That is a very good idea.
All right. So the first one here is by Joseph. And he said, I mean, I am interested in them, but you mean actually sit down and watch or play to go? Not very high. Booty also understand why.
But I...
No. No, didn't. They didn't put the space in there. So I'm going to read it as it is written. No, that is how I'm going to read it. If you want me to read it properly, you will put the space in there.
To be honest, not very great English from Joseph. Sorry, buddy, if you're listening to the show, but I mean, you have better English.
We appreciate you, but I had to do that. I couldn't miss the opportunity.
Good point from Joseph there. AZ Sports Guy says, I have an undefeated football team and a championship caliber basketball team, and I'd still rather watch my winless Coyotes. I don't think they need to do anything to keep my interest. Which, those are your diehards right there.
Great and dedication right there.
Yeah, yeah. And we know that there are a lot of diehard fans. You know, we see you guys on Twitter all the time tweeting during games and still watching this team on a regular basis. And more power to you. You guys are incredible fans. And so our tweet, I don't think, is necessarily geared towards you. It's more of your casual fans and your fans of other teams and whatnot. So, yeah, anyway, AZ Sports Guy with that reply there.
And then we have Michael at Cash 2112. Solid development of the kids and maybe a breakthrough star. And Pat had replied to that saying, less rent of vets and more picks. I would definitely say solid development of the kids is one of the things that I've been looking forward to, but it really doesn't, to me, seem that there's going to be much of that to watch the Coyotes. That'd be more reason to watch the Roadrunners, honestly, because most of the guys that are going to be going through development aren't going to be on the team. They're going to be developing in the AHL, so... I totally agree with, but also feel like it's not really applicable here in some ways. Less rent to vets is actually really funny. That should be a company of some sort, and that should be its name. That the Coyotes are the Arizona Coyotes, aka the rent to vets. More picks. I'm really curious what kind of picks, because the Coyotes have enough second round picks to create their own party. So, I want to know what kind of picks you're talking about here. If you're talking about, you want another first rounder. There's not really much asset wise to get more picks out of it other than really just tanking and hoping to get a really good lottery pick.
That's kind of the idea, seemingly. However, the Chicago Blackhawks are doing their damnedest to make sure that the Coyotes don't even get a chance at that, because if you've been paying attention to the Blackhawks at all, they have yet to hold a lead through their first six games of the season. They are a flipping disaster right now compared to the Coyotes, but we can leave that for another show and the Blackhawks podcast here on the network. But anyway, we digress. Another reply from... at CBacher44, he says, improvement weekly, need to upgrade goaltending a bit and get some upgrades on defense in the 3-6 slots, which I don't disagree with there. They hung around in the games there that Vemelka started, right, against the Oilers and the Islanders, right? I mean, they still got their asses beat, right? But they hung around and Vemelka is certainly better than Carter Hutton at this point. So at this point, it just becomes, they got to get better in front of their goaltending now. But it's a really tough task when you're playing the Oilers and you have to face Connor McDavid, which, if you didn't see that goal that he scored against the Coyotes, it was legit.
Yeah, I think since Vemelka came up, I think that is definitely a situation where it's an entertaining thing to watch. That does give you a reason to watch the Coyotes, just from a point of his story is interesting and seeing his development is interesting. So at least that I do believe is a little bit of something. So I can kind of agree on that end a little bit. And then from the Honky Podcast Network here, for the Vegas podcast, Dave Eggman had said youth producing. And like we said before, absolutely agree. But we're probably not going to be seeing it much on the Coyotes.
Ain't that the truth? Loyal Sip says, just keep the games close. That's all I want. And Shane Wright. Cough, cough.
Guy Finney said, a breakout star a la Garland. I actually had an interesting conversation with someone about Garland the other day, saying that they weren't too happy about the Garland trade and that they feel like there could have been other people that got thrown in there, including Barrett Hayton. Because I had said, well, you weren't going to get, they weren't going to get much for OEL, right? By himself, he really wasn't that valuable of an asset. So they needed to throw someone else into the fold there in order to get something out of that. And their response to me was, well, I wouldn't have traded Garland. I would have thrown someone else in there. And someone else in the group, Scotty, I will throw him under the bus on this one in case Sporting Nation wants to go at him, said Barrett Hayton. And I actually thought that was an interesting idea because of the fact that, yes, you know, he's a centerman and they're rare. He doesn't look like he is developing the way that he should be. And that scares me because we have seen in certain players, Dylan Strome, where they had a lot of promise. And then even when given the opportunity to grow and get their legs underneath them, they really haven't really produced. And that's what I kind of feel we're seeing from Barrett Hayton. I'd love to be pleasantly surprised, but I haven't seen anything good come from him. So it would have been nice to had someone else in that trade as opposed to Garland, because as I said before, I still feel like that is the trade that hurt me the most because of the fact of the fire and the spirits and the rawness that he had and brought to the ice was worth so much more than he was given credit for.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you said. Connor Garland is off to an incredible start with the Vancouver Canucks, picking right up where he left off with the Coyotes. He's got 8 points in 6 games right now, 3 goals and 5 assists. He scored the game-winning goal to against the Seattle Kraken in the Kraken's home opener. So he broke the hearts of Seattle fans everywhere. I tend to agree with everything you said there. You know, I don't think the Coyotes would have been able to net a first round pick in that trade if they would have. That would have been Barrett Hayton or Clayton Keller in that trade. I think from the published reports we saw is that Connor Garland became a lot more tradable when it was clear that the Coyotes and Connor Garland couldn't come to a contract agreement. And so that's kind of what made him more expendable than a lot of people would like to think, is that for whatever reason, they just weren't able to agree on a contract. And that's why, for the most part, they ended up trading him, because they wanted to trade him so they could get something back for him rather than just letting him walk as a free agent. So we had a couple more replies here. We had Johnny Clements said, losing and more losing, the tank is on, which I don't know if that's really a reason to tune into games or not, but
I think that's a little bit morbid and I kind of enjoy it. And the fact that, you know, it's a good thing that they're tanking. It's like, you know, what was that game? I'm trying to remember again. Who was it years ago where the entire game was who could lose the game?
Yeah, it was Buffalo and the Coyotes, yes.
Yes, it was Buffalo and the Coyotes. Okay, that's what I thought. And I feel like that is the vibe that's going on right now, is people are enjoying the losses. There are some people that are enjoying the losses in the form of wins because of the fact that they realize the payoff down the road. I really enjoy that, because that is a good way to go about it, because you understand the long game. You don't mind having to deal with the pain of right now because you know it'll be worth it in the long game in the end. I always worry because the Coyotes really just never have a good chance when it comes to, you know, actually getting drawn for top picks. But, you know, at least they're trying. They're very hard at something, even if that's not winning.
Is there any more replies you want to get to?
Yeah, I just thought this one was funny, so I think we should probably end on this one. We got one from Jam Bands Roasted. Fucking A, why couldn't I read this? I couldn't pull that apart. It was like a fucking license plate. Jam Bands Roasted said, free beer. You know,
ain't that the fucking truth?
I think it's pretty smart. You know, at a certain point, people would then just be going for the entertainment of the free beer. You could turn it into, if we learned anything from the Trashers, people will come for alcohol and fights. Entertainment comes in all different shapes and sizes. So, yeah, you would probably get more people in the arena with free beer. I can understand that one.
100%. I 100% agree with that. So, my answer to this particular question is interesting, because I was talking to somebody about this earlier this week, and I was like, man, I'm so checked out on this Coyotes team this year. Like, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that I can't watch games. And we rant about this every season now. But the fact that Bally Sports Arizona is not available on anything but actual freaking cable is disgusting. It's such a fuck you to every single fan of not only the Coyotes, but the Suns. And it's ridiculous, especially the Suns, for goodness sake. Coming off a run to the NBA Finals and I can't watch fucking games is ridiculous. So stupid. And if I was actually able to watch the games, I'd probably be more invested in the team this year. But because I can't watch games, it becomes for me of like, all right, well, I'll just watch the highlights, I guess. Cool. You know, it's very frustrating not be able to watch games, because I wish I could.
Your point is extremely valid, because it is quite difficult. And even though, you know, they'll have some that show up on ESPN Plus, it'll say that they're blacked out. They have very convenient blackouts. And, you know, there is no Bally, like, subscription where you can just subscribe and watch the games. And so it is kind of pointless to that degree, because you can't watch it anywhere. And so how, you know, normally you can go out of your way, like, I'm going to go to a sports bar and go watch the game or something, but if they're going to constantly be losing, what's the point? I think there has to be some type of storyline in here, of whether it's a player, whether it's some type of development with the team. There has to be some type of storyline with the team that people could invest in while they're losing. I would really be entertained if the team could just do well in situations where other teams really need to win. It's like, okay, whoever they're playing really needs this win. It's going to mean a lot to them. And the Coyotes just go in and actually win those games for entertainment purposes, as just payback for all of the years of people giving the Coyotes shit. They can just be a thorn in everyone's side.
Yeah, I think that's just play spoiler all season long would be nice, but don't do it enough to where you go outside of the best part of the lottery. as long as that happens, and then we're good. We're good. So speaking of the lottery, and this is the last thing we'll do before we wrap up the show here. If you go to tankathon.com, you can simulate the NHL draft lottery and based on the current standings in the NHL. So this is a great tool, and I figure now would be a good time when we're talking about this. You know what we should do? Every show, we should do this at least once now. And then we should keep track across the season to see what the Tankathon simulator says.
Richie, you just came up with the storyline. Right there. I said there needs to be a storyline. You just gave a storyline.
Oh, keeping an eye on the draft lottery odds?
Yes. There you go. Because most of the time people just think, oh, it's just tanking. No. It is tanking in proximity to everyone else's tanking.
Mm-hmm.
And how that's going to affect you in the long term. It's sometimes harder to track because it's not like, oh, yeah, you know, someone's winning the division, someone's losing the division. No. And there's a lot that goes into it. So we need... I like this. This is a storyline right here. We can provide that for the people. We will constantly see what the odds are and where the Coyotes are at throughout the entire season.
It's good. And right now, as we previously mentioned, the Chicago Blackhawks are bringing up the rear, ladies and gentlemen. They are 0-5-1 with 1 point on the season. The Coyotes have the second place odds right now at 0-4-1. And the Montreal Canadiens, who only win this season, came Sunday against the Chicago Blackhawks, coming off a run to the Stanley Cup final, are 1-5-0 with 2 points this year. And so the odds as such look like so. Blackhawks 16.6%, Coyotes 12.1%, and Montreal 10.1%. So, Corey, give me a drum roll and a countdown. And then I'm going to press Sim Lottery and see what happens.
3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, fuck me. God damn it. We are 0-1.
0-1?
We are 0-1. According to our first draft lottery simulation on tankathon.com, the Coyotes... much like, actually exactly like 2015, they drop from second to third in the draft lottery. And two teams which the Coyotes have no love lost towards are picking first and second. Chicago and fucking Vegas.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Vegas doesn't need shit from nobody.
I know, yeah, and they're off to a shit start this year. They're 1-4-0 this year too, and
they are on the struggle bus. And yeah. Even the guys will like admit to that from the Vegas podcast. Like they will know that we're not coming at them with this one because they know they're on the struggle bus.
Yeah, exactly. So, not a good start for the draft lottery simulator, Coyotes fans, as they move down to third. But if you take a look elsewhere, the Avalanche, who are apparently also outside of the playoffs right now, their pick would be eighth, which means the Coyotes would have two picks in the top 10, which we know now is probably not going to be likely. But 0-1 so far this on the Tankathon.
Yeah, this is the problem. The Coyotes' luck with the draft lottery is so shitty. We also need to start doing something cleansing. You know how they cleanse rooms and shit with.
Yeah.
That we need to figure out some of those types of ceremonies and start doing that early, because there's a lot of bad juju that has been going on for the lottery for the Coyotes. I don't know what the Oilers did. We'll go down there, though, and we will or I guess up there, we will go up there and see what, you know, black magic they had been doing. Try and do it ourselves.
I agree 100%. And as we have already talked about in the show, when it comes to lotteries and number one overall picks, Arizona doesn't have a whole heck of a lot of them. So there you go. That's the show for Sunday. We hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for all your replies at Corey underscore Richie Show. You can still go and reply on Twitter right now and let us know why you are invested in this team still this year. You can go to tankathon.com and you can do your own tankathon results and you can screenshot them, send it to us, and see if you get the Coyotes picking number one overall, because that would be a beautiful thing. It'd be a nice little morale booster.
But yeah, we can manifest it. And before we go too, I have to point out that when I was at the concert, I did something great. I took my Thread wallet and clipped it to my pants, and I never worried about it the whole rest of the night. Like, I just knew it was right there. It was fantastic. There's actually a picture of me wearing it, and I had such a great time, and I was able to worry more about where my drink was than where my wallet was. So if you are going to concerts and you don't want to worry about where your shit is and you want to keep it like secured to you, for sure, Thread wallets, use code Sporty, 15% off.
Do it, Sporty Nation. I am a testament to that, because I also had my keys clipped to my belt all day today when I was out running about, rolling chainsaws in my parents' backyard even. I had my keys clipped to my belt.
Here's the shit out of me.
So I didn't lose them. If you didn't see that, it's up on my Instagram and Twitter, and you can see a video of me very hauntily for Halloween week using a chainsaw. It was great. I didn't hurt myself, which is great. And I did not break anything this time, which was also great.
Yeah, you not hurting yourself is a rarity, and I take that win whenever we can get it.
Yep, indeed. I agree. It's full circle from the beginning of the podcast where we talked about how much of a child I am to the end of the podcast, talking about how you are basically like a proud mom when it comes to me not get hurting myself.
Yes, you are slightly accident prone.
All right, Sporty Nation, we will talk to you again later this week. Until then, good night and good hockey, everybody.